Okay, so it is January 28th, 2026. And if you're listening to this, maybe on your commute or, I don't know, at your desk, you might want to just take a second here. Because we're looking at a date that I honestly think tech historians are going to circle in red for decades. The news out of Amazon today, it's not just another earnings beat. It's not a new Kindle. It is, when it feels like a seismic shift.
Seismic is absolutely the right word. It might even be an understatement. We've been poring over a stack of documents here, all morning internal memos verified by insiders at Teakin Games, some deep industry analysis, and a leaked report with the, well, the chilling title, Project Dawn, the twilight of traditional software engineering.
And usually a title like that, you know, it feels like marketing fluff or just clickbait.
Exactly. But looking at the hard data in these papers,
Yeah.
it doesn't feel like hyperbole. Not at all.
No, the numbers are the scary part. Let's not bury the lead. Amazon has initiated Project Dawn, and as of this morning, they've cleared out 16,000 roles, 16,000 empty chairs. Now, usually when we see a number that big from a company like Amazon, our brains go to a specific place, right?
Right. You think forklifts, packing tape, the holiday rush cooling down, warehouse corruption.
Yeah, seasonal hires, logistics.
But that is exactly why we're doing this deep dive. Project Dawn is historic because this is explicitly a white-collar purge. This is not about robots moving boxes. This is about algorithms moving data.
And replacing the people who used to move that data.
Yeah.
So our mission today is to unpack what happened here. Because if you think this is just an Amazon story or just a tech industry story, you're missing the bigger picture. This signals the end of, well, traditional software engineering as mass employment sector.
It's the tipping point. It's the moment where the efficiency metrics finally just overtook human capability in the software stack. We've been warning about this since GPT-4 came out, really.
So let's break down the 16,000 number. You said this isn't blue collar. So who are these people? I mean, 16,000 is a stadium.
Yeah. So according to the leaked documents, the restructuring is this precise three-pronged attack. The first chunk is about 40% of the cuts, so 6,400 roles in customer experience and order management.
Okay, but we've seen customer service automation before. Is this just glorified chatbots?
Yeah.
Because I think we've all yelled representative at a phone enough times to be skeptical.
It's a massive leap forward from the chatbots we all hated in 2024. The source documents say these roles are being replaced by next-gen voice AI agents. But the key phrase that jumped out at me, and this is where it gets a little Black Mirror, was capable of simulated empathy.
Simulated empathy. That
That.
chills me a little bit. What does that actually mean?
It means the metric isn't just was the problem solved, it's did the customer feel heard? The AI analyzes tone, cadence, stress levels in your voice in real time. If you sound angry, it adjusts its pitch to be soothing. If you sound sad, it sounds apologetic. It doesn't just process a refund, it apologizes for the inconvenience with a tone that sounds genuinely regretful.
So it can fake caring better than a burnt-out human employee can.
Sadly, yes. Humans have bad days. We get tired. We get snippy. The agent never, ever breaks character. That's the efficiency game.
Okay, that's the first chunk. What's the second group?
The second is logistics and supply chain logic. That's about 35%, so roughly 5,600 roles. These jobs are being consumed by predictive demand algorithms.
How is that different from what they do now? I mean, Amazon has always been great at logistics.
True, but previously there were armies of human analysts interpreting the data. You know, oh, a storm's coming to Florida. We need more batteries. Now the AI is so accurate, it predicts where inventory needs to be before a human even opens their spreadsheet. It
Yeah.
moves the toilet paper to your local distribution center before you realize you're out.
It's predicting the future. Okay, but here is where we need to slow down. This is the part that has the tech world in a panic today. The last 25%, that's 4,000 roles. These are not support staff. They're not logistics analysts. These are software engineers.
Specifically, yeah. The document identifies them as QA testers and entry-level developers. This is the canary in the coal mine for the whole white-collar economy.
4,000 programmers. People with computer science degrees, people who did expensive boot camps, people who spent years learning Python and Java. Why them? What specific work were they doing that a machine can now do better?
So the source breaks down their daily ticket volume, their to-do lists, essentially. And these engineers were handling routine structural work, writing unit tests, debugging legacy code, converting designs from Figma into HTML and CSS.
I want to pause on unit tests for a second. We have a mix of listeners. Some are CTOs, some are just curious. Can you explain that in plain English?
Sure. Think of it like building a car. You don't just build the whole car and then drive it into a wall to see if it works. You test the brakes separately. You test the windshield wipers. In software, a unit test is just a little script that checks one tiny piece of code. You know, if I click this button, does the number go up by one?
So it's vital work. You can't ship code without it.
It is vital, but it's incredibly repetitive. It's the eat your vegetables part of programming. It requires strict logic, but very little creativity.
It's the grunt work. It's what you give the junior devs to cut their teeth on.
Exactly. But here's the kicker. Amazon's proprietary large language model, their internal AI, can now do those specific tasks with significantly lower error rates. And, crucially, near zero latency.
That latency point is interesting. We're not just talking quality, we're talking speed.
We're talking about physics, almost. Mm-hmm. A human junior dev might take 4 hours to write a comprehensive test suite for a new feature. They need to read the docs, understand the context, type it out, fix a typo, maybe grab a coffee.
Right. The human friction.
The AI does it in milliseconds. It reads the code, generates the test instantly.
So it's not a fair fight.
It's not a fight at all. It's a massacre. And that brings us to the cold math. You have to understand, a decision like Project Dawn, led by Andy Jassy, it's not emotional. It's not malicious. It is pure, unadulterated efficiency metrics.
The source called it a napkin calculation, but honestly, it's brutal.
Walk us through the cost comparison, because when you hear the numbers, you get why the board signed off.
All right, so let's look at the total cost of ownership for a human. A junior developer in the U.S., standard big tech package. You've got salary, benefits, health insurance, stock options, all of it. You are looking at a floor of approximately $120,000 a year.
And for Amazon, that's probably conservative. Likely. Now, compare that to a Dawn AI agent. We're looking at compute costs, electricity, server space plus token usage for the LLM. The report estimates the annual cost to run an agent equivalent to a junior dev is about
$5,000. $120,000 versus $5,000. That is, what, a 95% discount?
It's a 96% reduction in OpEx. But it gets worse when you look at output. A human works, ideally, 8 hours a day.
Ideally.
But humans have biological friction. We need to sleep. We get sick. We have bad days, existential crises. We have to pick up our kids.
The AI agent works 24/7. It reviews thousands of lines of code per second. Doesn't get tired. It doesn't ask for a raise. It doesn't unionize.
There's a quote in the source that really stuck with me. It said, Amazon is a profit machine, not a charity.
That's the bottom line. When cognitive labor, especially this kind of repetitive structural coding, can be automated at 5% of the cost, the board of directors has a fiduciary duty to act. Project Dawn is described internally as the sunrise of a new profitability era.
But it's the sunset for traditional job security. Which leads us to a term the source brings up. It's slang, a bit derogatory, but we need to define it to understand what's dying here. The code monkey.
I've heard this term thrown around on Reddit for years. What does it actually mean in this context?
It's a harsh term, but in the industry, a code monkey refers to a developer who is essentially a translator.
A translator.
Think about it. A product manager says, I want a blue button that submits this form. That's an instruction in English. The developer's job is to translate that English intent into syntax, into JavaScript or Python.
So they aren't designing the system. They're just laying the bricks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They are syntax technicians, and the source makes a very bold declaration. The era of the code monkey is over.
Because the translation problem is solved.
Completely. Modern AI tools like GitHub Copilot X or Amazon's internal systems have mastered translating logic into syntax. They've read the entire internet. They know the documentation better than any human ever could. They don't make syntax errors.
This is the junior trap the article talks about, isn't it?
It is. And this is a huge societal problem. For 40 years, the value of a junior dev was, I'll do the typing for you. I'll build the boilerplate. I'll learn by doing the grunt work. But now AI generates that boilerplate instantly. So paying someone $120,000 to be a human translator is just economically irrational.
So the ladder's broken. The bottom rungs are gone.
Exactly. And the message from Amazon is we no longer need translators. We need thinkers.
And that shift from doing to thinking is rewriting the entire workflow. It's not just about replacing a person, it's changing how software is built.
Let's get into that workflow, because I think a lot of people imagine AI coding as, you know, I type a prompt, it gives me code, I paste it in. That's how it worked in 2024. But the source describes something called an agentic workflow. That sounds autonomous.
That sounds like a sci-fi.
It's a massive leap. In 2025, the human was the driver. You prompted, the AI answered, a co-pilot. But under Project Dawn, we're seeing autonomous loops. The source details a five-step life cycle that happens almost entirely without human hands on a keyboard.
Okay, walk us through these five steps. Let's say we want to build a feature like a new crypto payment gateway for an app. How does that get built now?
So step one is the only place the human really does anything. The product manager defines the feature, they write the requirements, add a crypto payment gateway for Bitcoin and Ethereum, comply with EU regulations.
Okay, so the human says what to build,
yeah,
the intent.
Correct. Then the human hits go and the agents take over. Step two, the architect agent designs the file structure. It decides which files need to change, how data should flow, all the scaffolding.
Blueprints are drawn.
Step three, the coder agent writes the actual functions, the logic. It generates the code to make the transaction happen.
And this is just happening in the background.
In milliseconds. Then comes step four, which is the most fascinating part to me, the tester agent.
This is the adversarial part.
Yes. The tester agent takes the code the coder agent wrote and just tries to destroy it. It runs scenarios. It inputs garbage data. It tries to hack it. It finds bugs. And this is the key. It doesn't report those bugs to a human.
It talks back to the coder.
It loops back to the coder agent autonomously. It says, hey, line 45 throws an error if the user inputs a negative number. The coder agent fixes it, sends it back. They do this loop code, test, fix, test hundreds of times a minute until it's perfect.
That's incredible. In the old world, that loop could take 3 days of Slack messages and Jira tickets.
And lots of arguing. It works on my machine. Well, it doesn't work on mine. Now it happens in seconds, in silence. And finally, step five, the DevOps agent deploys the build to the live server.
So the human is just pushed to the edges. We're at step one, defining, and maybe step five, just approving the final result.
That's the reality. The human is removed from the doing, and the consequences scale. A team that used to be 10 engineers can now be run by one senior lead.
One person managing an army of agents.
Precisely.
That creates a huge bottleneck for employment. If one person does the work of 10, what happens to the other 9?
Well, that's the 16,000 people leaving Amazon today.
That is a terrifying efficiency gain. But, and here's where we need to pivot, because we promised a survival guide. It doesn't mean software engineering is dead. It just means the location of the value has moved.
Correct. The source, specifically a section by an analyst calling themselves Inspector Gemini, outlines four specific roles that are irreplaceable. These are the survivors.
Okay, let's give the listeners some hope here. If I'm in tech or my kid's studying CS, where do I hide? Who is safe from this agentic workflow?
The first group are the system architects.
Why them? If AI can code, why can't it architect?
Because AI is still terrible at the big picture. It's great at writing one function, but it's bad at understanding how 20 different microservices interact over time without crashing the whole system. It lacks that long-term contextual foresight. It's the difference between laying bricks and designing a cathedral.
Okay, so big picture thinking is a moat. What's next?
Security and ethics specialists.
That makes sense. We've all seen AI hallucinations.
Exactly. AI makes up code that looks real, but might have a hidden backdoor or a massive vulnerability because it was trained on bad data. You can't let the fox guard the hen house. You need a human sheriff to audit the machine.
Right. You need a human to say no. Who else?
Complex problem solvers. These are the people who understand the business problem. See, AI is a solution engine. If you ask it to build a bridge, it will build a bridge, but it won't ask, why do you need a bridge? Would a ferry be cheaper? Or a tunnel.
I see. Translating a vague business need, we need more revenue, into technical requirements. That's a deeply human trait.
AI solves the puzzle you give it. Humans figure out which puzzle is worth solving. That's a crucial distinction.
And the fourth one. This one sounded like a new job title.
The AI orchestrator.
I love that title. Sounds like a conductor.
That's exactly what it is. These are the engineers who know how to build and fine-tune these agentic workflows. They aren't writing the code. They are designing the factory that writes the code.
So looking ahead to 2027, which is basically tomorrow, the source predicts a metamorphosis.
Yes. The prediction is that the job title software developer is going to fade away, replaced by AI orchestrator.
And the resume bragging rights change, too.
Completely. Nobody cares if you know JavaScript syntax anymore. Putting React expert on your resume in 2027 will be like putting Microsoft Word expert on there in 2010.
It's assumed.
It's assumed the AI handles that. The new brag is, I can build a full stack product in 1 week using a fleet of AI agents. It's all about velocity and orchestration.
The source uses a great analogy that I think really lands this. typists in the 1990s.
Oh, I remember that shift. Yeah. There was a time when typist was a specialized job. You hired people solely to type dictation. It was a skill you went to school for.
And
then everyone got a personal computer. Typing became a basic utility skill that everyone just did. If you were a professional typist who couldn't adapt, you were obsolete. The source argues coding syntax is going the way of typing.
It's becoming a utility.
The speed of software development is about to increase 10x. If you can't adapt to that velocity, you are the typist in 1995 holding onto your typewriter while everyone else is using email.
So the future programmer is essentially a manager of robotic coders.
That's the reality. You're managing a team, but your team runs on silicon, not caffeine.
So let's wrap this up with the survival roadmap from Inspector Gemini. If someone listening is freaking out, maybe they're a junior dev or they're studying CS right now, what is the actionable advice?
Three things. First, escape the junior trap. Stop obsessing over syntax. Huh. Stop memorizing leak code. Go deep into architecture and system design. Learn how the pieces fit together, not just how to make the individual bricks.
Second.
Embrace the agent. Don't fear the AI. Master the tools. Be the one managing the 16,000 bots, not the one being replaced by them. Learn how to prompt, how to chain agents, how to debug the AI's output.
And the third one.
Sharpen your soft skills. Negotiation. Business logic, creativity. These are the moats. These are the things the algorithms cannot simulate, at least not yet. You need to be the person who can talk to the client, understand their pain, and then tell the bots what to build.
You know, it's interesting. Even if you aren't a coder, this feels relevant. This shift from doing the work to managing the agents that do the work, that's coming for every industry.
Absolutely. Marketing, legal, finance, we're all becoming product managers. We're all moving from creation to curation and direction.
Which leaves me with a final, slightly provocative thought to chew on. The source mentioned the Ticking Game open mic section, and it raised a question that haunts me a little bit.
What's that?
If the doing is gone, if we're only left with defining the problem and approving the solution, do we eventually lose the ability to understand how our own systems work?
That is the danger. It's the black box problem. If you never lay a single brick, do you really understand the structural integrity of the house?
Yeah, exactly. If we stop writing the code, do we eventually forget how to read it? Or will programmer even be a job title in 5 years? Or will we all just be product managers yelling instructions at a black box we no longer comprehend?
It's a terrifying thought. We might be handing over the keys to the kingdom without knowing if we can ever get them back.
That's a conversation we cannot afford to ignore. That's all for this deep dive into Project Dawn. Check the show notes for the links to the source material. It is a fascinating, if slightly terrifying, read. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the next one.